So this is our theme for this month, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever, Psalm 136, 1. You know, that word thanksgiving, be thankful, give thanks. Webster's Dictionary defines it as an acknowledgement of having received something good from another. But sometimes that can get shallow, right? I mean, anybody ever open a door for you and you say, thanks, but you really didn't mean it? That was just a kind thing to say. You're like, I could open the door myself, you know? You see, our expression of thanks, it has to come from the awareness and knowledge of what has been done for us or what has been done to us. But a lot of times, even that, with that definition, it could be so shallow, kind of like saying, I love pizza. You can live without pizza. You can live without, you know, chocolate. Yes, you can live without chocolate. You know, all the chocolate lovers gasp. But our expression of thanksgiving, you see, like I mentioned, you know, when someone opens the door for you, how about this? For instance, we can all say that we've experienced some sort of service at a restaurant. Hopefully, as Christians, you're leaving a good tip, you're leaving a good testimony, and being a witness. Hopefully that when you're praying for your food, and it's not that, you know, that real just plain, bless this food, Lord, amen. You know, I mean, you know, but that while you're praying for your food, you say, God, help me to be a witness to this server. But even as the people that are serving you at the restaurant, whether it's a drive-thru, whether it's a sit-down restaurant, if you can find a place that has a sit-down restaurant, we've experienced where someone has done something good. And even, I'm not sure about you, but if they don't come around as much as you wanted them to do, if they don't come around to refill your drink like you want, I mean, like you're going to die because you can't. I mean, look, if you're really thirsty, you'll suck on the ice, right? Can I hear an amen? You know, but somehow we get irritated. And Thomas touched a little bit this morning. He kind of just referenced how people can irritate us. And I've always, in the back of my head, always have this thought. They are not irritating me. Whatever they're doing, I'm allowing it to affect me. No one makes you angry and mad. You are allowing whatever they're doing to rouse you up, and thus you get mad. But it's all under your control. When someone pushes your button, you just don't push their buttons. You just push that button back out. When someone pushes your buttons and just really just, you know, nitpicks on you, you can begin to have a different attitude than what the flesh would love to have. Even the kindness of others. I'm not sure how many of you can remember or recall this past week how many people were kind to you. You're probably like, and I want you to stop thinking. I want you to start thinking how many of you were kind to others. I think sometimes we're kind to other people because they've been kind to us, and we feel this sense of guilt or this responsibility to be kind to them. And really, that's anything good you do for other people, think about it. That's really wrong. I mean, that's just a wrong, because people are doing something nice for you. Now you feel obligated to be nice to them, when all along you should be nice to them anyway. So that's why when I'm mentioning about being thankful or saying thank you to someone, don't wait for someone to do something nice to you in order to be, I mean, this idea of walking in thanksgiving. You don't have to wait for someone to do something for you. God's done it all. And regardless of what anybody says or does, we need to learn. This is tough. We need to learn how to walk in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to Him, regardless of what anybody does. Because really, if you really have this bad luck that nobody opens doors and nobody's kind, and every restaurant you go to and no one does good service to you, even if that's your, you know, bad luck week everywhere you go, I mean, people are never nice to you, never kind, never open doors. A server just throws the food at you. You still have to live in thanksgiving. I mean, really, you still have to. So regardless of what Webster's Dictionary says, an acknowledgement of having received something good from another, God has given us so much good that regardless of what anybody has done bad to us, we still need to learn to walk in thanksgiving. That is tough. Because we feel like, well, God, you want me to give her 15%? But she didn't even come. She didn't even serve us. She just came, and one time we hadn't seen her at all. It doesn't matter. Be a good witness. Give a good testimony. Especially if you're going to leave a hidden treasures card or track. Especially. Because you know what? That represents everybody else. Think about that. So if there's a server in here, you're probably excited. Like, yeah. But seriously, I mean, we have to think about what leads us to say thank you. Thankfulness helps us not to forget. Not to forget what? Not to forget all the good that God has done. If we learn to daily have thanksgiving. Daily, not just say thanks, but live in thanksgiving. So let's go to Exodus chapter 13. This passage of scripture, I was reading a book from John Bevere, and it's about where is God? And it's about when you feel alone. Anybody ever feel alone? Like you're by yourself and God's nowhere around. You're like, hello, God, are you here? He's always, the door is always open. He's always here. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to teach you something. And so Exodus chapter 13, verses 18 through 22. Let's go there real quick. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, hey, when y'all leave Egypt, take my bones with you, because I'm not supposed to be. All right, so he says, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. I used to think, oh, God, that is so awesome. That would be great if that happened to me. And it's like, you know, slapped upside the head by the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. You don't need something physical. You don't need something physical, an actual cloud or a pillar of fire, just to know that I'm with you. I'm inside of you. So, you know, the light turned on in my head that day. Verse 22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Thank you, God. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to become children of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, speak to us, Lord. Amen. So I ask this question for you. How often do we give thanks to God? Because I had to ask myself and search my heart and do some dissecting in my heart and seeing how often do I give thanks to God? I have certain alarms on my phone to remind me, one in particular, of some things. You know, I'm not sure how many of you do that. You have reminders on your phone, or maybe you're old school. You have a calendar on your office desk, and you just write things. You don't deal with, you know, your cell phone or whatever. But I have one in particular that reminds me for the last 3 years at a certain time to give thanks to God. To give thanks to God for something that he did. I had learned before I set that alarm, I had learned about a year or so before. I was learning, but I had learned before that day that I started to say thank you on that first time. I had learned to thank him before whatever he did that led me to continuously thank him. So every day I have this reminder. Thank you, God. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, God, for your blessing. I don't deserve it. Thank you, God. And it was for a particular thing. How much of our thanksgiving is shallow? Think of this. The person that opens the door for you, say thanks, do you really mean it? How many times do you tell God thanks and you don't really mean it? You just want to say, or you just want to eat the food in front of you. You don't really mean it. You're just, you know, Sometimes I've actually done this where I would pray for food, you know, because I'm with some other people and we're about to eat. I get all spiritual, but I get all spiritual to see how many people are like restless to grab their fork right away because they're hungry. But even think about that. Even when you're about to eat, how many of your thankful prayers to God is just shallow and all you're worried about is digging your teeth in that chicken or whatever you're eating, steak or hot dog or whatever. So how much of our thanksgiving is shallow? Listen, I had to do some heart searching. Did I really mean? And the Lord was showing me sometimes that I really didn't mean thank you. I was acknowledging something, but in my heart, I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just saying something nice and doing what we, you know, typically as Christians have to do. Be nice. Be courteous. Are we really thankful? And how long does that thanksgiving last? Now, see, don't get intimidated because of what I'm saying. As I was saying before, we have to learn to walk in thankfulness. It can probably intimidate you and burden you, and now you got something else to throw on your back. Listen, if you came today to God's house with a bunch of luggage on your back, Jesus actually says, bring all of you that are heavy laden and are heavy burdened, bring them to me. Bring your burdens to me, and I'll give you rest. So don't carry this burden that, oh man, I got to learn how to walk in thanksgiving and always be thankful. Well, yeah, you do. But you don't have to do it alone. The Lord will help you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit, yeah, he'll correct you. But the correcting is a good thing. The correcting is for you can get things in line and get things and practice and get things in order. So don't get intimidated. Just as we are to learn to walk in faith, we are to learn to walk in truth. We are to learn to walk in righteousness. We are to learn to walk in thanksgiving. We must also learn to do that. Let's go to my second and third slide. Give thanks to God. And this is, I love this, you know, cool little picture. The leaf, you know, just kind of sticks out of the picture. We have to stick out in life, in this world. We are the light of the world. We have to stick out. And so it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1. Go to the next one. I found a bunch of these scriptures now. I didn't want to go to so many, but I'm just going to just, as those of you that can read from where you're sitting, you can just follow with me. But Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I love Psalm 136, verse 1 through 5. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who, give thanks is the main thing that we're supposed to be learning here. Give thanks to the Lord to the Lord of Lords, to him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks. So you see, regardless of how many other people treat you rudely, badly, or unkindly, you're supposed to walk in thanksgiving. Learn to do. This is something that is vital for God's people to learn and to live by. Number one, that our eyes remain on God. As I mentioned to you about this book from John Bevere, it references that the Israelites, they were delivered from Egypt. And as they left Egypt, they just packed up and went, only to be found in another difficult situation. Then they began to complain. Anybody ever complained before? Anybody ever, like my mom would say, no te chupes los dientes. She, whenever I didn't like anything, or instead of complaining, I wouldn't say any words. I was, you know, you just, or maybe you might sigh. Oh, that's a complaining. That's an action of complaining. You don't really like what's going on. You know, teenagers do that. But once they were found in another situation, they began to complain. How quickly they forgot God's deliverance. How quickly they forgot. Now, those of you, Thomas mentioned on this as well, the plagues that happened in Egypt. Do you realize they were plagues to the Egyptians, but they were miracles to God's people? They were protected from all of them. They were protected. Now, maybe they could smell all the stink of all the animals dying because, all the water turned blood and they couldn't drink water and all the locusts and all that. But the fact that they were protected. It's an amazing thing when we think about the plagues that happened. I mean, God's people weren't affected by it. Why? Because they were his people and they were trying and God was wanting to get them out of Egypt. That was his plan, to get them out of Egypt. But once they left Egypt, now they're standing before the Red Sea. We're going to touch on this a little bit. They're before the Red Sea. Something happened and they turned their eyes and they saw somebody chasing them. Then that's where they began to complain. See, when God delivers us or does something or pulls us or rescues us, whether it's from our own troubles or from other people's troubles and anger, when he rescues us, God, thank you. When he provides, oh God, awesome, thank you. I wasn't expecting that check. Oh God, thank you. I wasn't expecting someone to pay my bills. Anybody like somebody paying your bills? Okay, I only saw one hand. All right, so... But we thank God when that. See, this is one thing that I've been trying to learn and apply. I'm not perfect at this. But if I'm praying for something, then after I'm praying, I'm thanking God for the results of what I'm praying for, of what I prayed for. Listen, if you're praying for God to do something and you're like, I guess if he does it, then why are you even praying? What's the point of praying and believing what God's word says if you're not actually going to begin to thank him? Thank him for the answered prayer. And so I'm learning to do this, walking in this. So let's go back to Exodus 13. So he leads the people, his people, out of Egypt. And he does some miraculous thing that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. And by night in a pillar of fire, he did not take away. You see, our journey in life is seen and known by God. And if we allow him to, he'll direct our lives and lead us into situations or opportunities. Some of them you're not going to like. But if he leads you there, then they're good times. Now, I understand. Well, good times being, strapped for cash or good times going through difficulty. I mean, I could tell you walking outside my house and looking at the tire and it's flat. And that happened many times with one of our old cars. I mean, it seemed as if there was some punk kid around the corner slashing my tire or putting nails underneath my tires. I don't know. I didn't catch anybody. But it just seemed like there was a demon around the corner and just poking or putting nails in my tires because they would always be flat. But I learned to just trust God, and man, that's not going to ruin my day. Think of all the things that have happened in your lives where something happens and it ruins the rest of your day. Actually preparing this something last week, that's what I had to step over. Now, it took me a couple of hours to step over it. But I could have allowed it to ruin the rest of my week. Because something happened that I wasn't expecting, or a circumstance that I wasn't looking forward to. And yet I had to, as I'm preparing, man, I'm supposed to be walking in thanksgiving regardless of what happens. In all things, what? Give thanks. Give thanks to God. Because the life that I'm supposed to be living is supposed to bring him glory. It's supposed to bring people to Jesus Christ. Now the Israelites, for the first time, many of them, that's all they knew was slavery in Egypt, because they were born in Egypt and many of them were grandparents and they passed away and all the children, that's all they knew was slavery in Egypt. But for the first time, they were leaving Egypt and leaving slavery because God was delivering them. With God's deliverance came a new challenge and a new situation. I have no idea how many of you are standing in front of a Red Sea moment or standing in the wilderness thinking, where is God? God, where are you now? God, what, did you bring me all the way over here just so that I can die? That was their complaint. They totally forgot what they had just seen, the miracles to them, the plagues to the Egyptians. You see, God's plan or direction for our lives will teach us. It'll teach us to trust him. It'll teach us to look to him. It'll help and build us to become the people he created. Now, I don't actually want you to do this, and teenagers don't do this, but wouldn't it be helpful if you grabbed a Sharpie and you put thankfulness on your forehead so that every time you saw yourself in the mirror, you were reminded to be thankful. Thankful to God. But we have to learn to walk in the fact that whatever situation, he's God. And if there's something in front of me, then you know what? He's going to get me through. Why? Because he got me through from over there. He took me from where I used to be. He took me from the mire pit. He took me from the sin that I used to live. And he brought me here. He brought me here just so that I can stand in front of this situation, as difficult as it may be. And just think of this, the Red Sea. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. But just think of this, the Red Sea. They crossed on dry ground. Any of you ever go to a river and your feet touch the bottom of it? I don't ever like doing that. I'm a city boy, so I don't like going and touching. I mean, I'll go to the beach, you know, but they had cattle, they had animal, they had wagons. They didn't have cars. They didn't have, you know, inflatable tires. I mean, it was just like wooden wheels, I guess, or stone. I don't know how well they were with making wheels, but they got through the Red Sea and no one got stuck because it was dry. Walls of water on either side of them. God did this. And you know what? We don't have time to get into it. But even after that, 40 years. They didn't have to be in the desert for 40 years. But they began to complain. They didn't put their trust in him. They forgot what happened in Egypt. They forgot about their miracles. They forgot about the Red Sea. In the middle of their complaints, in the middle of their unfaithfulness, in the middle of their ungratefulness, God still fed them. God still hydrated them. God still protected them. God still allowed their clothes to last 40 years. No thrift store shopping. No headed to the mall. No Amazon, you know. Let me try the clothes for seven days. If I don't like them, I can send them back. None of that. 40 years. Same shoes. Same socks, didn't even get a hole in them. None of their clothes wore out for 40 years. And I want to just say that because how many of you complain, gripe, unfaithful, ungrateful to the things that God has done for us? To who God is, in the fact that even if he didn't give me the house that I live in and the cars that I drive, even if he didn't give me all of that, because of his great love for me, that he loved me first and that he loves me even though he knew how jacked up I would be, he still loves me. See, this is why we need to walk in thankfulness, regardless of what any of you do for me, regardless of how many of you open the door for me, regardless of how many of you say kind things to me or my family. I need to walk in thankfulness. You need to walk in thankfulness. Why? Because of what God has done. Because of who God is. Number two, our lives are to be surrendered to God for righteous living. See, our journey here on earth, God wants it to bring him glory and to bring people to Christ, to know his perfect plan. This is our life, created in him for him, to bring him glory. And so our lives need to be surrendered. Ever try to train an unruly child? Well, you might need a belt. You might need, some good strategy of how to get them to listen. I was going to say an unruly adult, but I don't want anybody to look at anybody else. So, but let's get back to the Israelites. So after all the miracles, the plagues, the Egyptians experienced, God protected and God provided. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? I mean, that's a moment for... You know, do you not know what I just did for you? Do you not know what God has done for you? I mean, you know, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Really? You really want to go back to slavery? Want to know why? Because they saw a difficult situation and they feared. They saw the enemy chasing after them. They saw what was before them and there was no rescue. They forgot. This is why We need to learn thankfulness, to live in thankfulness, to walk in thankfulness, because it will help us not to forget God's plan for our lives, what God has done, God's plan for our lives, and what God wants to do in our lives. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." I had to underline that. See the salvation, because you're looking at the wrong things. You need to see the salvation of the Lord. We need to see Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. So if you got a bad report, keep your eyes on Jesus. If something is ailing or hurting, my neck and my back, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. If you're looking to what happened in the past, I'll never do it. I'll never be able to get there. I'll never be like him or her. Quit trying to be like him or her. Try to be like Jesus. So our lives need to be surrendered to God for righteous living. Amazingly, that we've done the same thing. We've placed our eyes on something else other than the Lord. Moses continues, he says, who is he? God. God will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Lord, help us not to forget what you've done for us. Help us not to forget who you are. Number one, help us not to forget what you've done for us. Number three, help us not to forget that you are taking us somewhere. And real quickly, I want us to go, let's go to slide four. God never changes. How many of y'all believe in this? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He does not change. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. This is the passage of the story where Jesus' disciples got scared in the middle of the storm. But verse 35, they forget something. It tells us what they forget. Verse 35 says, "On the same day when evening had come, he," meaning Jesus, "said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" I like this passage. I like this verse because of what Jesus says. Let us cross over to the other side. That's an affirmative statement there. We're going to get to the other side. And do any of you come to the conclusion we might get to the other side? Any of you come to the conclusion that we're not going to go over there? Something's going to stop us. Something's going to obstruct us from getting to the other side. No, Jesus says, let us go to the other side. To me, the Lord's saying, we're going to get to the other side. He has a plan for us. And regardless of what comes before us, I'm going to get to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to heaven but through him. So regardless of what comes before me, I'm getting to heaven because of Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. A constant in our lives must be that our eyes remain on him. That was my first point. My second point is that our lives are surrounded to God for righteous living. And another constant in our lives must be, ought to be, that we live a life of thanksgiving to him. Because our eyes are looking at who he is, what he's done, and where he's taking us. You see, God is in control always. And if it ever seems like God is not in control, adjust your vision, because you like the Egyptians, they were seeing Pharaoh. They were seeing the enemy. They were seeing the Red Sea. And Moses says, see the salvation of the Lord. So if it seems like he's not in control, adjust your vision and remember what God has done in the past. Then out of your knowledge of him and his actions towards you, begin to walk in thanksgiving. Because according to Webster's Dictionary, thanksgiving is defined as an acknowledgement of having received something good from another. I don't care about you. I don't care how many gifts you've given to somebody, but nobody has given me a better gift than God. So that good gift that he's given me, to love me, to look upon me, to want me to be with him, to deal with me, I thank him for that. And I need to live a life of thanksgiving to him. I don't think that this would be difficult for us. I don't think it'll be difficult for us to look back at where we came from. What did God pull us out of? I don't suggest that you stay there. I don't suggest you carry any of that baggage with you. You leave it where the Lord cleansed you from, where he cleansed you, where he cleaned you up, and you continue to walk with him. If you fall, like it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, if you fall, then you repent. 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Memorize that verse if you really need to. 1 John 1:9. Hold on to that. Because where he cleansed you, where he cleaned you, you keep walking. You don't go back and start scooping all that stuff up and put it in your pocket and think, no, you leave it there. You leave it at the altar. A couple weeks ago, I remember, don't think I ever said it before. But the fact that when the Israelites brought their sacrifices to the altar, it was left there and it burnt to a crisp. Ashes was nothing left but ashes. They didn't go back and sweep it back up and then take it with them to their home. No, the sacrifices were left at the altar and they were left there, never to be taken back home with them. So we come to God with our life as a living sacrifice. And then, Father, I give my life to you and I'm not going to take it back. So I don't think that it would be difficult for us to look back and even to look back and see when God has come to our rescue. To see when he was faithful, because he's always faithful. To see when he provided, because God always provides. And like the song we were singing, Jireh, he is our provider. No one can provide. No one can top what God can, how God can provide and what God can do. My last slide. And so this happened to the disciples of Jesus. The storm made them forget. They had a lapse in their knowledge and vision of Jesus. They had a lapse in their knowledge. They forgot what Jesus said and they forgot what Jesus had done. In Mark chapter 2 and 3, we find that Jesus, he healed a man who had some really good friends. Remember those friends that carried him? Carried this this paralyzed man, couldn't get him through the front door, so they cut a hole in the roof and they laid him and they lowered him down, and Jesus healed him. Then there was another man, he was a man with a withered hand, and it was on the Sabbath day, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And of course, everybody else is, oh, why would you do this? And they were more concerned with what the day was than the person. And Jesus was more concerned, and he still is more concerned with the person than whatever day it might be. So these disciples, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. When they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Any deep sleepers, hard sleepers? It takes an earthquake to wake you up. Anybody? All right, a couple of you. Okay, so Jesus, he was just at peace. He was sleeping. He was chilling. He wasn't worried about getting wet. He was probably, you know, dreaming that he was on in a waterbed, maybe. I don't know. But he was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, now listen what they said. Do you not care that we are perishing? They forgot that he was the one that found them and said, I'll make you fishers of men. They forgot about what he had just done. Now to us, it was a couple chapters earlier. That he healed the paralyzed man, that he healed the withered man. And yet, because of this storm, their eyes were on the storm and not on Jesus, and not on what Jesus had done earlier, and not on what Jesus said that he was going to do, that he was going to make them fishers of men. Were they fishers of men yet? No. So that meant that there were still some training so they could become fishers of men. You see? What Jesus said and what Jesus said and what Jesus said he was going to do in them. They forgot all about that. So they said, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ouch. Sometimes the Holy Spirit probably says that to you. Where's your faith? Why are you whining? Why are you complaining? Why are you putting trust in your finances? Why are you putting trust in other people? Who am I? Lord, help us. Help us to learn how to walk in thanksgiving. Jesus is always with us and he's wanting us. I mean, he's interceding for us so that we could get to where he is. Thanksgiving connects with our emotions, does it not? That because of how we feel when someone does something to us, or we have to wait for someone to do something nice to us, and that emotion that we feel compelled to say thank you, when all along we should be saying thank you to people and walking in thankfulness all the time. Now, that would really be weird if you walk up to somebody that says nothing to you, does nothing, you just say, hey, thank you. And they might say, well, why are you thanking me? I didn't do anything for you. You don't have to. You know what? God did some great thing for me. And I'm walking in thanksgiving because he's saved me. That might freak them out a little bit. But at least you get to tell them why you're walking in thanksgiving. It is a difficult thing, even when I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, to walk in thanksgiving every day. But you know what? The longer I sit and think and trying to understand or wrap my mind around walking in thanksgiving every day, it's not going to make sense. Not in my mind. But according to what God's word says, it says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That last slide, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, I close with this. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our thanksgiving to God must be founded on him, must be founded on his word. What did he say? Did you forget what he said? Must be founded on his actions. What did he do? What did he say he's going to do? God rescued and delivered his people from the slavery in Egypt. Before the Red Sea and in the middle of the complaints for fear of their enemies, like I said earlier, he fed them, he hydrated them, he clothed them, he protected them, only to lead the young and new generation into the promised land, because that's what he said he was going to do to begin with. So learning to live a life of thanksgiving to our God enables us to keep our focus on him, our focus on what he said, and our focus on what he's going to do, so that we can continue to live daily. We can continue to daily surrender our lives for his purpose. Now, I'm going to ask Joe to play this altar call song. I just want to give this instruction to all of us in this room. Don't be burdened, but begin to ask yourself, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, when have my thanksgiving to you have been shallow? Begin to repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to walk in thanksgiving, because my eyes are on you. My eyes are on your word. And my eyes are on what you said you're going to do in my life. When we can learn to do that, we're going to be walking in thanksgiving every day. And we're going to take that word into action. In all things, giving thanks. You walk outside your house and you get in your car, you look at your house, thank you, Father. When you get up out of your bed, thank you, Father, for this day. When you're surrounded by loved ones in a house, or when you get a text or a phone call from someone, thank you, Father. I got family, I got friends, I got people that care about me and pray for me. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you, Father, for the family of God.